and it's KVC Arts Now on KVCR Arts and Entertainment, as well as the people and places providing it. I'm David Fleming, welcoming Joe DiFiore. Joe, thank you so much for coming in.
Thanks for having me.
We're going to be talking about an upcoming holiday concert, as well as an original tune, Cuter Than Christmas. Cuter Than Christmas, that's an original tune from Joe DiFiore, and he's in the studio right now. Folks may have heard Joe about 3.5 years ago, a really cool disc called Out of the Woods, a really interesting, and I mean, I really love it. It was a mix of sort of, there was a jazz elements to it, but then there were also a lot of orchestral works within there as well. It was really interesting, and you know, I don't know if I could compare it to like the Claude Bowling kind of, you know, jazzical kind of stuff or the...
It's a good analogy.
Oh, I'm trying to think of there's a Frenchman that I always blank only when I'm about to mention his name. Jean-Paul Rampal. That's it.
Rampal. Yeah, very Rampal. Yeah. I mean, there is a Saint-Saëns piece in there too.
So. Oh, yeah. Oh, of course. That's all right. There
this
was.
One,
okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Cuter Than Christmas. Joe, I like to guess at songs, you know, whenever they come out, whenever I'm speaking to the artist, whether it was the melody or the words or what, which came first. With this, I'm guessing it was the phrase itself, too cute for Christmas. This is like something that you would hear from your grandma or great aunt or something, right when they're pinching your cheeks kind of thing.
That's You'd the picture. You'd be correct. So, yeah? Oh, yeah? because it is a funny story. You're actually kind of nailed it. It is actually from the title that essentially kind of what birthed this piece. So it was originated by, I was actually in family up in Lake Arrowhead for holidays one time, and I don't remember what the conversation was or anything, but it was a family friend that, I don't remember what we were talking about. Carrie is her name. Shout out to Carrie. It was like, cuter than Christmas.
Cuter than Christmas.
I was like, I should write that down, you know, and I never write down titles of songs, but in this case, I was like, I'm just going to store that and use that later.
Yeah.
And then once the season kind of came around where it got close to, I was like, I should try putting out a Christmas song, you know, and try to put one together and record one. So that's essentially how it originated.
Oh, totally cool. And did you actually write it down? Because at one point, I used to think this was a great question. Like, okay, you got that inspiration. Now you have to pull over and write it down before you. But these days, you can just do voice memo number 1742 or whatever.
That's correct. I mean, yeah. I mean, the title, yeah, I think I put in like my notes or something. And I think it was just that first melody, I think. The first couple of chords changes that are actually somewhat inspired by a song called Satin Doll by Duke Ellington
a little bit.
And I think when you write lyrics, and I haven't written a bunch of lyrics before, but the sort of the trick to write lyrics is make sure that if you say it in person, like cuter than Christmas, you have to make sure it sort of falls into that sort of rhythm that you would say it. So it'd be like, you're cuter than Christmas to me, because it sounds like it could be cuter than Christmas to me. So that's sort of how that kind of came about, is just those two like little things that got me started on it.
Oh, totally cool. So then if I understand it correctly, Joe, then it wasn't the notion of doing a Christmas song and so you wrote this, but rather this came to you and then you ended up writing a Christmas song.
Basically, yeah, it's like there's a few different reasons or inspirations behind it for sure. Mm-hmm. So there was that idea I had. There was also, I've had a couple of friends and colleagues who have put out Christmas music. And especially me having such a background in jazz. Mm-hmm. I mean, Christmas is so jazz infused. Like, it's so, jazz is so heavily part of the sort of Christmas music catalog, if you will. Yeah. So it just sort of made sense for me to kind of try my hand at one and see how it goes. And also, I've never, this is my first one really writing actual string arrangements. Because if you listen, it's rhythm section, it's winds, it's harp, glockenspiel, and a full 10-piece string section record on this too.
Oh my god.
So I conducted the whole strings and other than everything, and it was a great experience, honestly.
I'm just pleased because really nobody uses the word glockenspiel in conversation anymore, so I'm really happy it came out. Okay, Joe, I knew you first as a clarinetist, along with Eva in her various iterations, but even the Vagabond Tales, and then as a sax player as well. Mm-hmm. When you write, compose that is, do you turn to the keyboard or do you imagine a melody or you write it down? What's your process?
It's funny, there are so many different ways of that. Like, I know there are saxophone players, when they write, they use their saxophone to write melodies. I actually hardly ever do that. Usually how it goes is, like, I sort of do generally picture something in my mind, like some sort of melody to kind of get me started. Mm-hmm. And then that's probably where I would go to the piano to sort of hash out what exact harmonies kind of work to. And I just sort of lead with my ear, honestly, to try to feel what kind of works emotionally best, I guess you could say, in that specific moment. So the short answer is actually with like either my head or I just sort of sing it out in my head. And then the piano I go to help like hash out, you know, the chord structure and full melody and everything.
Oh, well, sure. I mean, I know a lot of people who play a variety of instruments and quite often composition ends up on the keyboard. That makes perfect sense, I suppose, because you can see so many different octaves right there in front of you. Well, 88 keys.
Yeah, I mean, it's the basis of any kind of music composition or even jazz improvisation too. That's part of what a lot of the jazz greats like Dizzy Gillespie say, like if you want to learn how to improvise, and probably you can compose too, it's like you need to learn how to play piano.
Nice.
It's vital to it, I would say.
Oh, excellent.
Because you could see it all. You could see all the notes. You could see all the harmony and everything like that too.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, and with other things like sax or clarinet, for example, you know where things are, but you're not seeing it.
Correct.
It would help with the visualization too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Absolutely. So that's kind of why it helps me specifically hash out, as I was saying, like melody and harmony and all that too with songs I write.
Gotcha. Okay.
But at the end of the day too, it is about, if I'm able to sing it, I try to write as like melodically as I can. So if I could sing the melody and it's something gets stuck in my head, that's when I know it's like, okay, I'll keep this one.
Oh, excellent. Oh, well, that's a nice rule of thumb. Is this is a catchy melody. It's stuck in my head. It's not one of those earworm complaining things, but rather, okay, this is a sign of potential success.
Yeah, that's the best compliment I get was like, man, your song has been stuck in my head for all day.
Well, it's better than like, say, Hanson or something like that. So it's
sure.
But bop. Oh, no. There we go. Okay, okay. Quick sidebar. As a musician in college, were you going toward a performance track or a teaching track? What were you going for?
Definitely like a sort of mix of performance and composing, arranging, I think. It's hard to say because the college I was a commercial music major with emphasis on composing and arranging.
Oh.
But I was playing in a ton of different ensembles. And at the same time, of course, I had taken like composition lessons and orchestration. I took like a film scoring class as well, too. So I think back then, and it's still kind of true to this day, the ideal situation is that either that I'm both playing on whatever session or concert, and I'm also, if I'm not the primary composer, I'm at least maybe like an arranger or orchestrator or something like that, I think would be great.
Gotcha. Okay. Okay. And the reason I ask that is that I think maybe with more of an education track, if you're going toward becoming a teacher or a professor, you may be more prone to being required to play a little bit of trombone, a little bit of this, a little bit of that. I mean, at least touching on a lot of different things so that you can teach proper embouchure or whatever, that sort of thing.
That's true, but I think that also applies to composers as well, equally as much.
Sure.
That's actually very much a thing, is that my composer friend's joke is like, oh, you know you're a composer when you have the most amount of instruments that you hardly play at all. So there's a lot to that, because, I mean, so much as a composer, too, especially if you're working with extremely limited budget, is that you sort of have to record a lot of the instruments yourself, too. Thankfully, I have like an advantage of playing a lot of the winds, like saxophone and flute and clarinet, and all that too. I mean, but you know, I have like some random percussion, like my bongos or cowbell, or I have a guitar somewhere too I might use every once in a while. So it applies very much to composers as well.
Do you have cowbell on your newest recording here this Christmas thing?
I do not, but I think I'd have it in my Choose Your Inventory album somewhere, as a matter of fact.
Did you feel like you needed more cowbell?
Probably. Yeah, okay. I think I needed more cowbell.
You can't not.
But maybe the next album.
Now, this Christmas tune that we were talking about, this is a song, not just a tune, a melody. You have Anna Crumley as vocalist. How did you end up with Anna? How do you know her, your association with her? And then, again, how did she end up being the vocalist for this piece?
I had worked with Anna a number of different times. She's probably one of the most versatile vocalists I know. We started working together with this pianist named Brian Clemens. We recorded on his album a couple years back. And I'd been on a couple of random gigs with her over the years, too. So when I was writing this, I forget if I'd played a gig with her just not long before. But while I was writing this, her sort of voice sort of came into my head gradually as time went on, too. I think it's because she has like a very sweet voice to her, which I feel like was very fitting for something like Cuter Than Christmas.
Yes.
So I remember texting her, was like, hey, I have this song. Like, I don't know if it's in this right key or if this could work, but let me know. And she was like, I'd be honored. The key works for me. It's super easy. I'm like, okay, great.
I'm David Fleming in conversation with Joe DeFiore. Joe's conducting a holiday jazz concert soon, and we'll hear about that a little bit later in the program. First, though, Joe, with your new original holiday tune, Cuter Than Christmas, since you were picturing Anna Brumley as hopefully the vocalist for this as you were writing it, I'm curious if that could have shaped any potential lyrics. And of course, I don't have any specific examples, but say things like it being better to say city rather than metropolis, you know, due to the lilt of her voice. Anything in those lines?
I think she had like a few different notes. I'm trying to remember like offhand what she did, but I think I had generally written the lyrics before. I think maybe her voice was in my head probably while. So if it was, it was very subconscious, I suppose you could say.
Okay.
But I was trying to think of certain words that as a singer you'd want to kind of hold out, that's user-friendly to hold out rather.
Oh, good point.
Like the O's, like snow makes me want to know. That's sort of an example that comes to mind. But she had a few edits herself, too, in the process of while recording it.
Oh, cool, cool. Any of her suggestions for changes? Anything that you really were like, oh, I want to say blown away by, like, oh, my God, I could have said metropolis instead of city, or whatever the case is. That's five syllables.
Yeah, I don't know if it was so much.
That's four syllables.
Sure. I mean, I don't know if it was so much the words. If it is, I can't remember what it is. But it's some of her, like, phrasing of the words that was like, oh, I never would have thought of that. And I think it's what's kind of great about being a composer. And I think this applies to if you're a director, too, is when you have someone come in and work on your project, and when they execute it, it's like you're thinking, wow, this is way better than I would have even imagined it to be.
Okay.
So that's sort of how it ended up being. There's a couple of phrases that I could tell you, but I'm not good enough of a singer to show you what I mean.
Okay. There are some cases where, gosh, I mean, in the world of theater, sometimes you do not want the writer in the room when you're performing.
Sure.
So it could go either way with, I suppose, a composer. This is really interesting. I mean, you know, just the fact that I'm able to speak to the composer about the tune at this point. And now you have a concert coming up. And I suppose Anna is the tie-in here because she'll be serving as vocalist for this concert in Newport Beach rather soon. I guess, first of all, is this going to be a purely holiday concert?
It's looking to be that way. It'll be purely that or 80 to 90% holiday music. It's hard to sort of slot like how much time each song will take, but it's looking to be at least almost all holiday music, essentially.
Okay. And again, Anna Crumley serving as vocalist for Cuter Than Christmas. And people will have heard that by now. So I would imagine, knowing what her voice sounds like, they'll be looking for certain thing, Oh Holy Night, or who knows what else. So what are some of the other things that Anna will be featured on?
So it'll be a nice mix of songs, genre-wise especially, because you'll hear more traditional songs like It Came Upon a Midnight Clear. You'll also have other classic jazz songs like I'll Be Home for Christmas and It's the Most Wonderful Time of the Year. But you also hear more pop Christmas songs if you're familiar with This Christmas, written by Donny Hathaway.
Okay.
We'll be doing that as well.
Okay. Wow. How about instrumentals? Surely Anna won't be singing for every tune on here. And are these all going to be all your arrangements? Or are you taking some classic arrangements that people would look forward to when they hear of such and such song coming up?
It's going to be all my arrangements, actually.
Cool.
Well, what's going to be interesting, because there will be some classic ones. You'll hear like White Christmas, and you might hear some from the Charlie Brown Christmas album.
Nice.
A couple ones in there. But there's a couple, actually. There's one from a video game you'll hear, from one of the Mario Karts, actually. It's not quite Christmas, is a very wintry track, shall we say.
Okay.
And one from the film Elf, if you remember that one.
Oh, gosh. Okay.
So it'll be a nice mix.
Oh, well, no, there's a nice full circle thing. We were doing the cowbell thing earlier. Now we've got Will Ferrell in the picture. Well, this is really cool that it's not just the most traditional of tunes, but you're bringing in the contemporary as well. Now, putting together a concert of this nature, is this the band that you play with, generally speaking, when you perform, or was this from scratch, assembling? I don't even know what you have. Is it three brass, reeds, three, you know, how do you have this?
It's a large group, so it's five saxes, reeds, it's eight brass, four trumpets, four trombones, rhythm section, piano, bass, drums, guitar. I think it's like about 17 people, if I'm not mistaken, too. As far as how they came to be, yeah, I mean, I've had the band for maybe a couple years now, too, and it just sort of came out of like just a mix of people I knew from certain places. A lot of them I just play in other big bands with around the Southern California area. Some I've done like wedding gigs with, some I've done random recording sessions with. And some I just didn't know, but they just were recommended to me by others. And they've stayed in the band. It's been a great fit. So it's a whole mix of where they all come from.
Again, this concert, give us the who, what, when, where on this one more time.
Sure. So this is my big band, the Joe DiFiore Big Band, featured vocalist Anna Crumley. It's December 23rd at 6:30 p.m. over at Campus Jack's in Newport Beach, which is right by the airport over there.
Fantastic. Okay, the places where people can follow you, find out more about your music, connect to your various albums and singles.
You should be finding me anywhere on the streaming services, Apple Music, Spotify, Tidal, everything. I'm on Instagram, active on there, Jody Fiore Music. Same with TikTok, I've garnered a fair following on there, also Jody Fiore Music. You can also find my website on jodyfiore.com as well.
Okay. Joe, then DiFiore.
That's
Joe
correct.
DiFiore. Okay. And now once more with the new original from Joe, Cuter Than Christmas, which will be part of the lineup of the holiday concert. Thank you.
the snow makes me wanna know the magic of your personality. The song that I sing and that you will play as the mistletoe hangs above. Your talent makes me gush, my heart's full of mush, 'cause you're cuter than Christmas to me. I've heard it said that a fantasy is not worth keeping. To be locked in your dreams, it could never be good for me. Or so it seems. Your looks are elegant, your instincts are pure, and your kindness is rare. I must initiate, know of a fate, 'cause you're cuter than Christmas to me. To me, you're cuter than Christmas to me.
Cuter Than Christmas, an original by Joe DiFiore, with vocals by Anna Brumley. She's providing the vocals as well on the Holiday Big Band concert coming up December 23rd at Campus Jacks in Newport Beach. More at joedifiore.com. Now another original holiday tune, and it's one of my favorites out there. Big Papa and the TCB, when they were still called Big Papa and the TCB.
Sleep a wink all night. She packed her bags without a warning. She even took the dog, and that ain't right. It's cold outside and colder inside. Blue Christmas on the radio.
Pop in the car and oh, I can't.
Christmas blues.
Christmas Blues from Big Pop and the TCB, though the band name has changed since then. It's now Chris Thayer and the TCB. And again, one of my favorite Christmas tunes out there. And with that, we wrap up another edition of KVC Arts. Thanks again to Chris Thayer and the TCB, past and present. Thanks also to Joe DiFiore. Here at KVCR, thanks to Rick Dulock, Sandy Hodela, Adam Rainey Ruiz, Diego Munoz, and Sharina Wad. Many past shows can be found through iTunes, Spotify, NPR One, or many other podcast sites. And most past shows are at kvcrnews.org/arts. Music beds and themes heard on KVC Arts, composed and performed by Sean Longstreet. So thanks to Sean as well. I'm David Fleming. Thanks especially to you for listening and for your support. Please support your public radio home, your source for this type of programming in and for this region. Give any time, day or night, at kvcrnews.org/support. 2, maybe 3 minutes of your time, you'll have done your part. And again, thank you so much.